All right. We're talking about the power series. Everybody say the power series. Okay. Who can raise their hand quickly besides Jonathan and tell me what the three powers we've taught you already? We've learned three. What are they? Come on, don't do it all at one time. Yes, Kathy, what? The what? Expectation, right. The power of expectation. Good, 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 good. Who knows the second one we talked about? Marilyn. The power of Thanksgiving. Say the power of expectation. Power of Thanksgiving. Okay. And who wants to tell me what we talked about last week? Yes, Maria. Oh, we talked about that Wednesday. Good, good though. That's what? Yeah, the power, remember? Don't move till you see it. Memory wiped the board? Okay. The power, and this is such, they're all good, but the power of not looking at your circumstance. Okay. Shayla asked me, Dad, what are you teaching on tomorrow? She asked me this yesterday. What are you teaching on tomorrow? And I was leery to tell her. And let me tell you why. I'm leery to tell you. And let me tell you why. Because when I talk about the power of Thanksgiving, you think, yes. When I say the power of anticipation, you think, yes. When I say the power of not looking at your circumstances or something inside you, you say, yes. And maybe not all of you. But I don't know. I'm just telling you what I know intuitively in my spirit. Satan has been able to rip us off on one of the most powerful things. And that's why I'm going to spend some time teaching you in the Word of God. Here's what it is. It's the power of prayer. And I'm just telling you what, as soon as I said that, I knew, I was like, oh. Okay. But I'll say it another way because I think it will help you. It's the power of simply asking. I learned, if you're not planning on being here to strengthening your marriage on Saturday, rearrange your schedule and be here. I said, rearrange your schedule and be here. Jimmy Evans is going to teach us Saturday afternoon, just from 12 to 5 o'clock, just in the afternoon, just those hours. Yeah, if you have to rearrange work. Do what you have to do to be here at that conference, if you're single or if you're married. But Jimmy Evans has taught me a lot, and one of the things that he taught me is this, that your prayer time, you need to just go into God, and we get all spiritual. Oh, I'm gonna pray for the missionaries, and then I'm gonna pray for my pastors, and then I'm gonna pray for my family, and then I'm gonna pray for, and we have all this, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with having structure, but Jimmy Evans said this, the main thing you ought to pray for is the things that you worry about. Your prayer list ought to be filled with the things that concern you. And so all you're doing in your prayer time, and please understand this about prayer time. Prayer time is, I'm not saying you need to pray an hour. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you need to pray for at least 45 minutes. You need to pray for at least an hour. I'm not saying that. You need to pray for at least half an hour. I'm not even saying that. Here's what I'm saying. That your prayer time needs to be structured, and it needs to be longer than, Father, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'm saying to you is you need to have, I don't even care if it's 15 minutes, but if you're a Christian, you need to have 15 minutes that you set aside and say, God, this is our time for me just to talk to you. And I love, again, Jimmy Evans teaching me this. I don't care. I think it should be predominantly filled up with just the things that concern you. Which means it probably can be a very much, and I've heard the sermons that say you shouldn't always just ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. I've heard that. And I understand that. But I would say that your prayer time needs to be with the things that concern you. And really think about it, really. What's wrong with asking God for help? Matter of fact, I will show you how someone who asks God for help is someone who God is pleased with. Because let me tell you what God loves. God loves the humble heart. God has a heart of people. Here's what the Bible says, that God gives, we'll look at it in a minute, gives more grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You know, can I reveal something to you and to us? Many times, the underlining factor of not praying is an underlining factor of pride. And what you're saying is, I'm just too busy. Listen, you are not too busy to pray. You are too I'm trying to think how I say this nicely. I'll say it like this. You and I are too, whatever word you want to use, inept, weak, ignorant, incapable. Am I smiling? To do anything.
Whoa, you can take it back.
Thank you. I included me too, right? And so what we need to do is we need to spend a little time, just a little time, but time sectioned off that you don't have your iPhone, you don't have, you know what, your kid, have it be a time that nobody can get to you and just start saying, God, man, I don't, my wife, men, have you ever experienced this? I'm trying to get out of the ditch, out of the ditch. And I think, oh, I mean, we're in an argument. And I'm thinking, and I've already dug myself deeper and deeper, deeper. Now I have the perfect thing that's going to get me out, completely out of the ditch. My wife's going to give me a hug and say, oh my goodness, you're awesome. And I get it in my mind, and I deliver it. I say it. And then my wife says, you know what? I can't believe you said it. You know what? That makes everything three times worse. Am I the, can I have a witness? Okay. What? That's why, men, husbands, we need to pray. And part of my prayer needs to say, God, help me. Again, I learned this from Jimmy Evans. God, help me to love my wife the way you love my wife. Now, I want to show you in the Word. So I'm not really talking about prayer. I'm really talking about the power of simply asking. See, there's something powerful when you go to God and say, God, I need help. I can't do this alone. And the supernatural God is quick. And Jesus, who knows the Father, says, all you have to do is ask in faith and you'll receive. Connect the dots. A direct relation. Now, all I'm going to do, because the truth is, all I'm going to do is just show you what the Word says. Show you what the Word says. Show you what the Word says. I've got one purpose today. I want to get you where you start to ask for things, that you'll start to go to God in a spirit of humility and say, God, I need help. I need help. I need help. Because my Bible says, God says, I will help you. But you need to ask for help. My first point, God will respond if we will simply ask. God will respond if, everybody say if. If we simply ask. James chapter 4, verse 2, and look what it says. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and do not obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have. What are these examples? These examples are people that are doing things in their flesh to try to get what they want. And God says, no, this is men relying on their power and their ability. And God says, no, let me tell you why you don't have. You don't have because you're running around trying to get it yourself. You're doing this. That's what the examples are. You lust and do not have. You murder. You covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and war. What are these people doing? They're trying to obtain. What do? You try to figure things out. And God says, the example that we talked about yesterday in men's class, in the men's breakfast, you know what? And men's breakfast was awesome yesterday. But let me tell you this, like Sarah, she tries to figure out a plan. And then she goes to Abraham, and Abraham, here we got a new plan. Hey, stop trying to figure out the plan. Get on your knees and simply start asking God for his help. That's the spirit of humility. That's what God loves. Yet you do not have, not because you're not trying to get it, but because you're not depending on my power. You don't have. Here's why. Because you won't ask. God, just help him to get a basket. Number one, God will respond. But we need to simply ask. Number two, you know who prays? Humble men pray. Humble men pray. Cocky men don't pray. Arrogant people don't pray. Because they got it. And as I've already stated, we don't have it. But we think we have it. Humble men will humble themselves and pray. Look at a couple of scriptures, or just one in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, starting with verse 6. But he gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. What's grace? Grace is God's supernatural power to get done what you can't get done. That's what grace is. Grace is God's supernatural power to get things done what you can't do by yourself. That's the grace of God. You were saved by what? Grace. You couldn't save yourself. God's supernatural power to get done, to take your sins and wash them away. You couldn't do it by yourself. You were saved by his supernatural power to do what you couldn't do by yourself. That's what grace is. So he gives the supernatural power, what he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the what?
Humble.
To the humble. Prideful people don't pray. They're too busy to pray. Oh, I'm too busy. God knows my heart. Yeah, God doesn't know your heart. You are too arrogant. It's pride that keeps you from getting on your knees and saying, I don't care, I have to pray for at least 20 minutes today because I can't do this. Next verse. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. You can do it by yourself. No, resist that. That's a lie. Draw near to God. I need help, God. I need help. Draw close to God. He'll help you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Arrogance. Sin. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, I need God. Oh, I got it. I need God. Oh, I got it. You don't have it. Double-minded. You don't got it. Don't be double-minded. Here's what you need to say. I don't got it. I don't got it. I don't got it. I don't got it. Just be single-minded. Let's say it together. I don't got it. Let's say it like we mean. I don't got it. Say this. I don't really got it. Okay? I sound like Scooby-Doo, huh? Okay, anyway. Okay? Double-minded. Be single-minded. I don't got it. I need help. Next verse. Lament and mourn and weep. I don't got it. You understand? See, walk in humility. I don't got it, man. I need help. That's what God's saying. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Next verse. Okay. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And watch this. And he will lift you up. People are like, man, why is that guy so smart? Here's why. He don't got it. And he recognizes he doesn't have it. So he gives more grace to the humble, the supernatural power. You have not because you. Do you see how all the word fits together? Man, just give him a basket. This is a coach who's humble enough to recognize there's a God. And I can't help him. So he humbles himself and says, cries out to God, says, God, you help him. My next point. Jesus is our example. Understand this. Yeah, but Jesus is Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God, but Jesus, according to Philippians, emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. Emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. When Jesus was on this earth, he needed to walk like he's our example. If Jesus doesn't empty himself, then he's not our example, because all of us go, oh, well, he was Son of God. He did that. No. Jesus was the Son of God. But when he came to this earth, he emptied himself. He was filled just like you. He was a man who was tempted in all ways, but he humbled himself. He was filled with the Spirit. Is that not right? He was led into the wilderness by the what?
Spirit.
By the Spirit. Now watch this. Who's the Son of God? He don't need to pray. No, he is the Son of God, but he is walking as our example, telling us, you know what? Because he emptied himself, he's saying, I need help.
That's right.
Watch this. Guys, no. Mark, humble, no, yeah, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. You guys got that? Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Okay, look what it says. In the morning, having raised a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place that he, what?
Prayed.
And there he prayed. Why is he praying? Here's why he's praying. Because he understands, I've got to draw close to God, and God will draw close to me. He's emptying himself of all heavenly privileges, so now he has to walk just like you and I have to walk, depending upon his Father. Are you seeing this? Okay. Look at this other verse. This is in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Do you guys have that one? Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Look what it says. And so he himself, this is Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Why is he often doing this? Here's why. Because he needs help. He's walking in the spirit of humility. He needs help. And so that's why he's doing it. Okay. Jesus is our example. If Jesus recognizes he needs help from God, how many know we better recognize we need help from God? Amen? Number one, you need to understand God will respond if you'll simply ask. Number two, you need to understand this. Humble men pray. Number three, you need to understand, see, Jesus is our example. Number four, understand this. You need to understand this. Yes, but I'm just a man. Yeah, but I'm just a man. But Pastor, I'm just a man. Okay, whoa. Wait a minute. Look what James says in chapter 5. James says this in chapter 5. Elijah was a man. I'm just a man. Elijah was a man. Understand this. When James says, ask, you have not because you ask not. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to men. And later on, he says, using this Elijah example, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah, what's he saying? Elijah was like you. Elijah did boneheaded things too. So, that's what it's saying. And what did he do? And he prayed. The power of simply asking. That's all he did. He simply asked. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. What did he ask? He just asked. Earnestly, God, have it not rain. Whoa. But God would never do that. Shh. Stop saying the opposite of what God said. Stop thinking the opposite of what God said. Start to understand the power of prayer. Start to understand the power of simply asking. But it won't. The reason why I have these scriptures is because I want the Holy Spirit to convince you. Listen, let God be true and every man a liar. You need to hush your unbelief up. You need to turn that part of your dingy brain off. Because that part ain't going to help you.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah, but it won't. Yeah, but it won't. Yeah, but shh. Stop feeding that. Stop thinking that way. Start to change how you think. Start to renew your mind to what God said. It's up to you. Let God be true and every man a liar. It's up to you, guys. You know, how many coaches wouldn't have prayed anything? How many coaches don't believe in God? You know, you believe what you want. You know what I believe? I believe that guy scored 6 3-pointers because of one man on the sideline who had the humility to say, God, help him. Amen. That's what I believe. You know, let me just tell you about doubt and unbelief. You can see a miracle right in front of your eyes. See it with your eyes. And 3 seconds later say, well, that probably happened because of this. Right in front of your eyes. Happened to Jesus. Jesus did miracles all the time. And he started saying, God, you know what? He said, seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't hear. Then later on, he'd say something like this. He who has ears, let him hear. They all had ears on their head. What is he reckoning? He's reckoning, hey, guys, get spiritually in tune with what's going on. You see a miracle and you walk away and say, that's probably just coincident that it happened and that's why it looked like it happened and it really, you know what, there's probably just shallow rocks underneath that water that Jesus walked on. There were no shallow rocks. But I'm telling you, you can come up with the. You know what? Just go to any of the universities. They do it all the time. Just will explain away. You can see the intricacies of the human body, and they'll just look at it and go, "Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let me show you how ridiculous men are." Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I've said this before. I want you to go in your garage. I want you to, I want you to buy a stick of dynamite, okay? I want you to go in the garage. I want you to light the stick of dynamite and run real quick. And here's what's going to happen. It's going to explode. Boom! And when it explodes, when it falls back together, everything is going to fall back together in place. So you won't have to clean your garage. All the tools are going to fall back in place. All the cement's going to fall back. Everything, the roofing, everything's going to fall back in place. And you go, man, okay, that is what they are teaching. You know what? Our kids at the universities. It's called evolution. They believe that it's a ridiculous theory. Amen. But what I'm saying is, this is doubt and unbelief. But they sit around going, yeah, that's smart. No, yeah, that's smart. Yeah, that is smart. Yeah, and they're all saying how smart they are, and they're all saying God doesn't exist. Wow. Let me tell you what, there is a creator, and there's order in his creation. Amen. But you can believe whatever you want to believe. But James says, let me tell you about man. Elijah believed it. Elijah walked in Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's what he did. He simply asked and he believed earnestly and he believed it. And it did rain for 3.5 years. And then look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Okay. And then he prayed again. He had the audacity to say, oh, I'm going to pray again now. And I'm going to pray it's going to rain. And the heavens gave rain and the earth produced the fruit. And what is the point? The point is given. James writes that to you because he wants us to not say, well, I'm just a man. No, yeah, so was Elijah. Come on. Amen. See, I'm telling you, Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, 24, he said, assuredly I say to you that anyone who says to this mountain be removed, cast in the sea. Assuredly, assuredly. I'm telling you, this stuff works. Yeah. Come on. I'm telling you. I won't believe that. Okay, you're just proving it works. You have not because you ask not. And then you ask and you don't receive because you're full of doubt and unbelief. Okay, well, I'm going to ask, but it probably won't happen. Well, don't catch your breath because it ain't going to happen. And the Bible says it's not going to happen. See, it's not just ask. He asks earnestly. That's a whole different thing. Amen? And you do need to believe. Amen. Are you learning some? Yes. You know what? But I'm just a man. No, no, you're not just a man. You're a man who's been placed on this earth, and the Bible has given you dominion on this earth. So the Bible says, you know what? It's baiting you and saying, Elijah did it. You can do it too. That's what the Bible said, I'm telling you. My last point. This stuff works. This stuff works. Power of asking. This stuff works. Let's go through just some examples real quick. The power of asking. Look at some examples. Look at this. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they prayed, understand the terminology. When they had prayed. When they had prayed. Why is that in there? Because God is trying to get us to understand this happened because somebody was asking. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembling together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is incredible. When they prayed, things started happening. Look at 1 Kings, or 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. We saw this last week, but I want to connect this with the praying part. Because we didn't connect with the praying. And Elijah, what did he do?
Prayed.
And he prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he might see. When did the guy see? See, we looked at this last week. The power of not seeing not seeing what's in front of you. But here's what I never connected, that Elijah prayed that he would see. When Elijah prayed that he would see, guess what's he asked? God, show him. He's asking. Look what happens. Lord, I pray that the eyes you might see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. When did he open the eyes of the young man? When he prayed. What did Elijah pray? You have not because you ask not. What's the reciprocal? You have because you. What did Elijah ask? That he opened his eyes. Were eyes open? Right. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he might see. Then. You see that word then? Underline that in your cranium. Then. The power of you simply asking. Jonah. You know how come Jonah got out of the whale? You know how come he got out? Because he asked. Watch this. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the what? Fish of the belly. God, get me out of here. I won't go over the prayer. It was longer than that, but it was kind of like that. Get me out of here. It was a little way longer. But anyway, look at verse, connect the dots. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. So, the Lord spoke to the fish. So, what's so in response to? Him praying. See, he asked, so the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Elijah into dry land. You know, Jonah. Yeah, Jonah. I wonder how that felt. You know, I wonder if it's being vomited out. He's like happy or he's like, that's gross. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think it was probably a little both. But you know what I mean? Sometimes, one time, I don't know about you. I don't throw up quietly. Amen. I throw very, very, very loud. Amen. My wife, I was throwing up like 3 years ago or something. My wife's like, man, you throw up loud. I'm like, honey, I'll try to do it less loudly next time. Imagine a fish throwing up. I think Jonah's like, whoa. I think he was thrust out. Whoa. Here's my point. So the Lord spoke to the fish in response to Jonah's asking. One more and then we'll end. Acts chapter 12. Are you seeing this throughout the Word of God? I spent all afternoon showing you the correlation between something asking and happening, something asking and happening. God, just give him a basket. Coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence, folks. We need to start using simple requests, just simply asking God, walking in humility. Don't doubt that he can't do it. Just start asking God, God, bring my child back to the Lord. God, help me get out of debt. God, restore my marriage. God, help me not to be such a dork. Whatever you want to pray. I've prayed that prayer a lot. Okay. Peter says this. Peter was therefore in prison, but constantly prayed. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Next verse. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. See, it's totally shut. Next verse. Now behold. Now check this out. That's what behold means. Now check this out. The angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. How many know this is supernatural? And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Why? Because they're praying. They're praying for his release. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Oh, put on your garment and follow me." See, the angels had to run. "Oh, and make sure you get dressed before you leave, okay?" That's what he's saying, right? Now watch. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't even know. Later on, he figures out it's real. Here's what I want you to connect the dots. Who's praying for his release? I can show you this over and over and over. And Jesus says, all you need to do is just simply ask. The power of simply asking. God, help him to get a basket. Just start praying. And in your heart, understand that God will respond to you. Yes. Did you learn something today?
Yes.
Are you encouraged today?
Yes.
Do you see areas in your life that are opening up that you just think, man, I just need to start asking. I just need to be bold in my asking. He prayed that it would stop raining. How many know that's a bold prayer? But God loves a bold prayer. Amen. I just recently heard a gentleman, and he prayed for somebody for their healing. And this is how he prayed. He said, "One of you know exactly what I was talking about." And here's how he prayed: "Father, I pray that you would heal her, but God, because you can. But God, whatever your will is." How many want that kind of prayer prayed over you for healing? How many know I don't want that? Because what is he saying? But God, maybe you're going to die. What is that? Can I tell you what that? It's doubt and unbelief. No, let's just start believing in the power of simply asking God and believing. I know for many of you this is like, but shh. Shut that part that wants to steal. The Bible says Satan comes to steal the seed that's sown. Let God be true in every man alone. Amen. Father, I pray. If you want me to pray with you, you say, Pastor, I need to start to believe and simply start to ask all over the room. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands. Father, you see the hands up. I pray that people supernaturally would start to have the boldness to trust and believe in God for supernatural. They can't do it, but you can. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.